had apprehension about attending a love feast, we would encourage you to please come out and experience this very meaningful time in the Church of the Brethren's life. So again, that's next Sunday, October 1st, immediately following the 10:30 service. We do want to encourage you. You'll notice in the bulletin, $640 was raised towards the disaster relief buckets, and it's $75 a bucket. So if we raised just another $110, we'd have filled those 10 buckets that we challenged ourselves to do. But let's double that and see if we can fill 20 buckets. So that's due by October 8th. So any money that you're able to mark in the offering for disaster relief bucket donations, we would sincerely, sincerely appreciate that. You'll notice the yellow insert. Can everyone wave your yellow insert at me this morning? Something very important in the Atlantic Northeast happened. You'll read about that at the very top of the back of the page of the clothing giveaway, which we'll highlight as Friday, October 6th and Saturday, October 7th. The times are listed there. But you'll see Pete Contra. Pete Contra is our new district executive. You'll remember Craig Smith retired, but Pete Contra has been called to that position, and we're very excited to have Pete's ministry among us here at the Atlantic Northeast and be praying for him as district conference is coming very near. Also, from the Women's Fellowship, we'll start with their meeting. It's October 2nd at 7 p.m. And we just want to make special note, all women of the church are invited to attend those Women's Fellowship meetings. So again, Monday, October 2nd, 2017 at 7 p.m. And then they're looking for rings. Does anyone can and have some of those rings that they just don't fit their jars anymore? Well, you know what? Those are going to be good enough to donate to the Women's Fellowship to use for a craft. So any rings that you have that are used on canning jars, they would appreciate them for a craft that they'll be doing. And then if you haven't picked up your chow chow, anyone do that yet? Pick up your chow chow. If you haven't done so, the order is ready to be picked up. And also, they'll be making more on Thursday the 28th and Wednesday, October 4th, and 8 a.m. that'll be. Any other announcements? I know Pam has one this morning. And then any other announcements, please make your hand waved. Wave your hand.
Did you share about the speaker before I got up here? Okay. First announcement that I want to share is, if you're wondering why you're having trouble hearing in the back half of the sanctuary, it is because the speaker in the back half is not functioning. So if you think that you're having some hearing loss, rather than worry about that hearing loss, just move up in the pews a little farther in front of that front speaker. We're in the process of putting new speakers in. So that'll be happening in the coming months. We need to just figure out exactly what we're going with and get them on order and then get them installed. So if you're having trouble, don't be afraid to move up. The other announcement I want to share is that this coming Saturday at Trinity Lutheran Church in Rarisburg, the Faithful Men and the Praise Team are going to be singing at their fall festival. They will have a fall festival going on from 12 to 6. Our time slot for singing is 4 to 6 p.m. They'll have other music groups during the day, so feel free to come on out and join us. Thanks.
Would you please rise and join me in prayer as we prepare for our opening song? Heavenly Father, we come before you. We know the week that we've had, the mourning that we've experienced. And we're asking you now to just calm us, to help us to be still before you, and to worship you, recognizing how great you are. So, Father, just let us lay aside all things and focus solely on you during this worship time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 87, Great is the Lord. We invite you during this time to share any joys or concerns that you may have among your church family. We just want to highlight Laura will be having her surgery on Thursday, and this is the more difficult surgery, so continue to keep Laura in your prayers as she faces her upcoming surgeries. Any others this morning? We do want to praise God this morning for the joy it was to serve at the disaster relief auction. Does anyone know what the quilt brought then?
$1,000.
So that's wonderful. Supporting the disaster relief auction. The French fry stand was quite the blast. And I'll admit my arm was a little sore by the end of the night pulling those potatoes down through the peeler. But it was such a joy to be able to be at the disaster relief auction. And thank you for everyone that contributed in any way whatsoever. Yes, Patty.
Okay, I have a joy to have Melanie here with me today. And I'd like prayer for Dustin and Melanie. Keep them in your prayers.
Amen. Welcome. We do want to ask you to keep Denise in your prayers. Tomorrow she heads in for an MRI, and many of you would know she has multiple sclerosis. They just want to make sure there aren't any new lesions that have developed on her brain. So continue to keep Denise in your prayers as she faces this potential storm in her life. But we know God is good, and we praise him in these storms. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for the forgiveness that your son Jesus offers us through the cross. Lord, we know that we're not perfect, but we strive to live like your son. And Father, we know when we fail, we don't need to feel guilty, but we need to feel forgiven. And so we just can come before you and confess those wrongdoings this week. We pray, Father, for those that are facing upcoming surgeries. Father, you know the stress, the anxiety that builds within. And we're asking your hand to be upon Laura as she faces her surgery on Thursday. Lord, we pray for the surgeons, for the medical team that will be surrounding her, that they would be on their A game. And we just pray the surgery would be successful and you would give Laura comfort through it all. And you would allow that healing process to go well and the recovery to go well. And we do thank you, Father, for modern medicine and the way it interacts with the abilities for us to pray and allow you to work in the midst of that. We pray, Father, for those that are filled with grief this morning, those that are dealing with sorrow, and ask for the joy that we have in our salvation to be our joy. Though we miss our loved ones very much, we know that our salvation secures in our minds the thought of being able to see them again. So, Father, we rejoice with those that have gone on before us and are in heaven with you. We think, Father, of those that are recovering from recent surgeries and have faced difficulties along the way, and place Robert Snyder and Barry Bayshore into your loving arms. We ask you to keep Ruth and John and Carl and Faye and Earl and Grace and Carol and Pete surrounded by your love and compassion. Be with Eugene and Mary and the Repperts, and especially with Ruth this morning. Bless her, Father, with health and healing if it be your will. And be with Jean and Dorothy. And many others that flood our minds, we bring to you as we pray to you in these next few moments of silent prayer. Father, we indeed praise you this morning. We praise you in the good and we praise you in the difficult times. We praise you for the difference that you make in our lives and the way that you interact with us and the guidance that you provide for us through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for friends gathered here as a family of God, those part of Little Swatara, and we especially thank you for Dustin and Melanie this morning and pray your abundant blessings over them. May they know the path that you have for them. We thank you for the plans that you have for each of us. And though, Father, we've lived long lives, we know, Father, you're not finished with us yet. And we pray that your will would continue to unfold, that you would continue to use us. And we just thank you, Father, for the disaster relief auction, for the quilts that were made, and especially the quilt from Little Swatara. We thank you for the funds that were raised to help in these efforts. We pray now, Father, that we would continue to worship you. We would continue to surround each other with love. And we would continue to serve you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 377, Healer of Our Every Ill. 377. Our offertory thought this morning comes from 1 John 4:10. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. That word sacrifice, do we really understand the depth of that word? One dictionary defines it as the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. What could have higher value than your child, your only child? To our God, it was us, everyone else's child. Great love, great sacrifice go hand in hand. The more we learn about love, the more we can begin to understand how selflessness and giving are inseparable from the path of following Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give. We know, Father, that you gave all, your one and only Son.
And we come before you knowing the ins and the outs of our checking accounts. But Father, we're praying that we would give with a genuine, with a cheerful heart. And we pray that we would give sacrificially. For we know that you not only love a cheerful giver, but a giver that gives sacrificially, thinking of others first. And we pray it be so. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen.
Didn't get in the bulletin, but choir practice season has started. So Jubilee Choir started this week, and we've only had 3 kids at practice this week, and one couldn't be here this morning. But I felt like we still needed to let the kids sing because these guys can really sing out. We are all a part of God's family, and since Matt's been talking about us being a family through the series of sermons that he's had this past month, I just felt it was really important to sing this song this morning, reminding us all that we are a part of God's big family. The mothers, the fathers, all of us, each one of us. So the kids are going to share that with you.
We are all a part of God's big family. Who could tell me what this is? A ring. What kind of ring? Any ideas? A promise ring? No. A marriage ring. Well, it's called a wedding ring. Do you know what's so special about a wedding ring? You get married with it. Do you know what the significance of a wedding ring is? A promise. Who do you make the promise to? Your mate. I like that answer. So, when you get married, you say, you faithfully promise to the other person that for better, for worse, for riches, for poor, in sickness and in health, for as long as they live. So each of these people wear this wedding ring as a promise to each other that they'll be there for each other no matter what. Do any of you make promises? You make promises? Have you ever promised your mom you'll clean your room? Or promised you'll do your chores before you go outside? No? Have you ever kept a promise? Mm-hmm. Yeah? How about broke a promise? Have you ever broke your promises? No? Yes? How did you feel when you broke a promise? Did you feel bad? Okay, we're gonna go with you felt bad. Did any of the people that you made this promise to always go, but you promised? Yes? I know I've done that before. Do you think God makes promises? Uh-huh. Do you think he keeps his promises? Uh-huh. I'm sure that you all know the story of Noah. Can anyone tell me the story of Noah? Okay, I'll tell you the story of Noah. God sent this big flood, and it covered the whole entire land, and it flooded and got rid of everything. And it kept, but God promised that there, Noah and his family would stay safe if he built this ark. So this ark is just this really, really big boat. There's a picture of it up on the screen. And so God had told Noah that he has to bring two of every kind of animal onto this ark. And after the floods went down and the boat reached the ground again, Noah and his family left the ark. And do you know what God sent? What was in the sky? Clouds, birds. What's that thing that goes in like a rainbow, there we go. So God sent this rainbow as a promise that he'll never flood the earths again. Has God kept that promise? Yes. God keeps all of his promises. So just remember the rainbow and God's promise. Let's pray. Dear God, we are thankful that you are faithful to keeping your promises. Help us be faithful in keeping ours. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
The question we ask ourselves this morning is, where do we find our shelter? Is it in the loving arms of a spouse or a good friend? In the approval or acceptance of others? Is it hidden in our workplace, a cabin in the woods, a beach house, or a boat on a lake? While these offer a certain level of shelter and comfort, they too can fail. They too can let us down. I'll confess, for years I searched for shelter in anything but God. I thought for sure long hours at the office, sitting in the recliner at the cabin, sipping on a diet Mountain Dew, or clinging to the arms of my mother or wife would shelter me from the storms. But the loss and loneliness, the devastation, the pain, and the heartache continued. It wasn't until I finally realized the storms will pass in the arms of Jesus that life began to make any sense. It didn't always mean the storms were over, but they passed with more understanding, with a more defined purpose. Nothing quite like brokenness that makes us trust completely in God. Our faith increases, our hope becomes more and more evident, and the storm no longer has us consumed. You see, it's the shelter of God we find our inner calm. When our lives are rocking back and forth like the ark Noah and his family will soon board, we find peace. We realize that God is our only shelter and the storm will pass in its own way. It's not hard to imagine the storms Noah faced. Day in and day out, the mockery, the torment, the wickedness that was all around him. People screaming, "What storm, Noah? You're losing your mind. Just stop building the ark. It's not going to rain, ever." We can imagine the difficulty staying on task, but Noah knew his shelter. There wasn't a single voice that would take him off course. He trusted God completely. He knew the plans God had for him, and he would fully obey. Friends, we don't have to look very far to find the storms in our lives. But can we say without a shadow of a doubt that God is our shelter? That he is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our times of trouble? Or does the storm knock our power out? Does the storm tear us down? And does the storm diminish our trust in God? Friends, try as we may, we can't control the storms ourselves. Take it from someone who knows. I fought against the storms and I never won. I constantly paddled upstream and I got nowhere real fast. We can claim we have it all together all we want, but God knows better. We're not fooling anyone. The waves will keep crashing. The current will increase, and eventually the sheer depth of that storm will drown us. Exhaustion, fatigue, total weakness settles in. And the point in the storm comes when we do what we should have done all along. We get on our knees and pray to God for strength, for protection and shelter in that storm. And here's the thing, when we reach the end of ourselves, it's there that we find God. This ark Noah was building was the only shelter and protection from the storm. God provided a way out, but once that door was shut, those looking in had only one future, doom was near. But inside that ark, safety, security were theirs. You see, it's the faith of Noah's family that saved them. But friends, those that were destroyed had every opportunity to acknowledge God, to turn from their wicked self. So don't think for one second God wasn't patient, that God didn't have compassion. And it's the same with us. He wants nothing more than for us to trust and to obey him. The storms are going to rage, the floods will rise, but God will continually be our shelter. And you know, the storm will pass. Noah knew this. He believed this, and he did everything exactly as God told him. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 7 today, and we'll be beginning in verse 1. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there with me and hear about these developing events. Again, Genesis 7, beginning in verse 1. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the 2nd month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promise that you made to Noah, that you would keep him safe inside that ark. We thank you this very day for the opportunity you give us while the door is still open to heaven to choose to live life for your son. We accept and we believe in you, Father, and we ask that you would teach us from your word. Amen. Now, it doesn't take long before we start to wonder what it was like on the ark. I mean, we're talking about thousands of animals, birds, and creatures that move along the ground on three decks of a boat the size of 1.5 football fields. It's fascinating to read, two by two, male and female, they came to the ark. It's as if they had divine collars and leashes being led by God himself. I wonder if it was like a Disney parade. Or did they come hither as God called out to their kind? We could hear them now. Okay, rabbits, hop on in. March in, elephants. Now watch your trunk that you don't hit the door. Fly low, bald eagle. Keep crawling, crocodile. You're doing great. A few thousand more and we got this. And what about the noise? Can you imagine? I do have to wonder, did Noah know what the fox says? And let's not forget the stench. We let that hog pen pile up. We know how that smells. And how about the unchanged kitty litter? Talk about nasty. Scholars estimate 16,000 creatures were aboard the ark. And they produced 12 tons of daily waste. Now remember, Noah was advanced in years, and he had plenty of time to think about how to manage this floating zoo. We have to believe he may very well have been the sharpest tool in the shed. Perhaps he designed slatted floors with a slope. But think about those daily chores, feeding and watering with only Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives. By my calculations, I wasn't all that great in math. That seems like only 8 people. Could you imagine the chore chart? We know what it's like with 150 dairy cows, but try 2 of every kind of animal, bird, and creature moving along the ground. I mean, seriously, my kids have enough trouble with 4 chickens, 3 turtles, 2 parakeets, fish, a rabbit, a lizard, and a dog. But again, studies indicate 8 people could have easily fed and watered 16,000 creatures. Any volunteers? Remember that phrase, work smarter, not harder? This very well could have been taking place with watering troughs. Maybe there was some form of automatic feeder. At the very least, there could have been feed that was kept near the pen where it was needed. But it isn't something we really can know, but it's actually kind of cool to think about. But there's another aspect we might consider. These were wild animals. Now, if you know anything about wild animals, there's these things called predators, and there's this thing called prey, the hunter and the hunted. Last I checked, wild animals don't always get along. We might even hear Noah now. Alex, put down Marty. I know you're a lion and I know you're hungry, but control yourself. Zebras are friends, not food on this boat. Now, it's possible they all stayed in their cage and they didn't bother anyone else. But I mean, seriously, what kind of fun would that have been for Noah? Can you imagine Shem tripping over Ham trying to catch the mother goose? Or what about the boys' wives screaming when the snakes escaped? Or Noah's wife proclaiming, "Enough already, woodpecker! You're going to drown this ark with all those holes you're poking in the wood." But the bottom line is this: God provided a shelter from the storm. There was safety in the ark. The trust that Noah had in his creator was to be marveled and replicated in our own lives, following God's orders to the T. But friends, can we really say the same? Do we really trust God to give us shelter in the storm? Are we following his lead to do the unusual when it seems impossible? How often are we following his command to love others? Or are we settling for less? Are we depending on ourselves? We'll take it when we need it, but right now, you know what? Everything's fine. But can you imagine what it would look like if every Christian lived a sold-out life for Christ? Followers acknowledging the necessity of God's family? I love the fact there are many among us that send cards. There are many among us that make phone calls. There are many among us that visit. And you can't begin to imagine the impact that has on the receiver's life. But friends, when we face the storms, we'll not only find shelter in God, but the storms will pass with the help of God's family. We can be assured of this in Psalm 91:1. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The fact of the matter is this: storms will come and they shall pass. But every day, dear friends, let's find ourselves in the midst of God's shelter. You know, there's one thing about Noah that he couldn't do. He couldn't shut the door of the ark. Perhaps those pending storms were too much for Noah to watch the men, the women, and the children perish. But friends, the time had come. The door was closed. Their shelter was being offered, but they chose to remain in the storm. I pray that we would know salvation is near, that the door is still open. And if you haven't accepted his call to come home, I plead with you to live like his son taught us, to keep your faith, and to know that it will get you through those storms. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your loving arms. We thank you, Father, for the shelter of protection. We thank you for the comfort that you give us in the storms. We know, Father, that every day we face something different. But Father, those emotions, those feelings that we experience, you experience with us, and how we thank you for that. We ask you, Father, now to be near to those that are dealing with any type of storm whatsoever, that you would allow them to know that you are offering them shelter and that they would find rest in you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. morning. And as you reach out your hand this morning, know that the Lord is taking your hand, and the Lord is